was not only in the States over the last few weeks, I was also in Portugal at a conference, and I was speaking to some pastors there that run significant churches in the world. And if you would have said to me that they would have said this, that Europe is in revival, I would have said, no, Europe's spiritually dead. And 5 years ago, that was the case. Europe was just spiritually dead. But right now, Europe is in revival. And it's interesting how God has set this up, because around the Middle East was sort of invisible walls to the gospel. It was so hard to get in to preach the good news about Jesus, where the center of Islam is. And it found it very hard. So over the years, not many Muslims had heard the good news, and not many had been saved. But it's interesting that we couldn't get to them. So in the middle of huge chaos and mess and strife and terror and violence, millions of Muslims decided to leave the Middle East and travel north towards Europe. Remember the Exodus? This is the new one. This is the new Exodus. It wasn't getting the Christian, it was getting the people out of there so they could be taught and shown the good news of Jesus. Right now, in Germany, Norway, Sweden, and other places, there are thousands of Muslims coming to Christ every weekend. Thousands and thousands of them are coming to Jesus every weekend. You see, Germany took in a million people and refugees and said, we'll look after them, and then had no idea of what to do with them when they got there. They got them into the nation, but they said, we got no plan for this, and that's very un-German not to have a plan. And they said to the churches, please, would you look after them? And the churches were able to come in and feed them and clothe them and give them water and preach the gospel to them. And right now, thousands upon thousands of people are getting saved right throughout Europe. Europe is in revival, and it's due to the Islamic influence coming right through. Pray for Europe right now. Pray that God... There are more Muslims being saved right now in Europe than any other time in history. It's never happened before. This has never happened before in human history. God has released the wall and set the people free, and they're getting saved by the thousands. We live in an incredible day. God is well able to do all that He said He can do. Speaking to a pastor from Colombia who has a church of 40,000 people. Who's heard of Colombia? What is it famous for? Cigars and cocaine. The drug capital of the world. 5 years ago, 3% of the population were Christian. 5 years ago. Right now in Colombia, 25% of the population are born again believers. Born again. We live in incredible days. We live in days where I feel that if we can see what God's doing and get the bigger picture, we're going to stir ourselves to see the great things that can happen right here in this nation. Be assured, God wants to do something spectacular. Invite people next week to Easter. That will change their lives. We're going to talk about the gospel tonight, and the gospel is centered around the death and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And at the end of the day, it's the blood that He sheds that changes humanity forever. And so tonight I'm going to talk about blood from heaven. Blood is a strange and mysterious substance. It affects us in so many amazingly complicated ways. The sight of blood can excite our basest eye. When somebody gets hit boxing and a cut opens, the crowd goes and cheers. Man, we get this sense of there's a battle going on, and then certainly across Europe when they are bullfighting, the matador takes out the bull and he stabs the bull, and the sight of blood stirs humanity. The crowd goes crazy. It can excite us in a very base way, yet it repulses our finer side. We know it means pain, tragedy, death. It triggers in us concern, fear, compassion. I remember on a horse riding adventure a number of years ago when a young girl fell off the horse and she hit her head on the rock. And I remember her head being split here with the blood coming out. I remember taking off my belt and tying it around her skull to keep it tight till we could get her to emergency and the whole thing. And it's an incredible thing. So it can excite us in some sense, and then it can repulse us. It has physical effects on us. Some people, when they see blood, get dizzy. Who get faint. Anybody like that? Yeah, me. Especially when it's my own. I'm not too bad with other people's, but my own I'm not so excited about. I remember when we were really young, my brother Brad and I were playing a game, which I don't suggest you play. He said, we stand at the end of the backyard, and I'd stand at the other end of the yard, and we'd throw darts at each other. I'm not recommending you play that. And this one time, as he threw, I ducked and it caught my hand and hit this main artery and I watched blood pump. I remember fainting. It can have incredible effects on you. As a matter of fact, when Lee and I first met, she was working for the blood bank. She was a nurse in the blood bank. And she said, you need to come in and give blood. And I didn't want to give blood because I remember the dart. That being the new boyfriend, I had to be, you know, like, it's all right, I'll come. So I went and gave blood. And I remember as I sat down and the girlfriends were there and they say, hi, this is my new boyfriend, Mark. And they say, hey, girls, da-da-da-da-da. And they put the needle in and I started to give blood and it was all sort of going okay. And then Lee got in her excited mode and she picked up my bag of my blood and showed me, look how much blood you've given. And that was the last I remember. I don't know how long it was and I woke up to cookies and a cup of tea and... It's an incredible substance, blood. And the truth is we're totally reliant on it. Without it, we can't live. And the reason we can't live without blood is because blood carries life in it. Blood is not life, but blood carries life. Look what Leviticus chapter 17:11 says. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, all right? I have given it upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for your soul. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I think it's got verse 14 there as well. Did I do that one? Yes, I did. And for it is the life of all flesh. Its blood sustains its life. Therefore, I said to the children of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of all flesh is in its blood. All right, so let's get very clear that blood is not life, but it carries life. Some cultures actually drink the blood of animals like bears or lions because they understand at some primeval level there's power in it, there's life in it, and they drink the blood of the animal. Or even their enemies, if their enemies were conquering enemies and they defeated a strong enemy, they would drink the blood hoping to get or receive the life from the blood for them to make them stronger. The whole point of vampires comes from that, doesn't it? You know, vampires, the whole thing of, I am Count Dracula. And I've come to drink your blood. And the whole point is the vampires need blood because there's life in the blood. And it's really funny. I grew up in a day when vampires were bad guys. Now they're just the cool guys with big teeth. But it's a sense of the whole mystery of that Dracula thing comes from the concept of blood having life in it. See, in the beginning, God breathed life into Adam. He created him, he's made, and he breathes, and it's the breath of life that initiates the blood flow within Adam's body. And to this day, we still breathe in oxygen to keep our blood flowing, to keep us alive. But God's breath, when he breathed into Adam, wasn't just natural, it didn't carry just natural life, it carried spiritual life as well. So in the blood, there is natural life and spiritual life. Our blood is both natural and it's spiritual. As a matter of fact, blood, your blood, my blood, is the contact between the divine and the human realm. The life of both the spirit and the natural resides in the blood. Blood is the agent of life. Scientists, doctors, they know much about blood, except how it provides life. They understand it carries it. They don't understand how it gets there. Why? Because life is beyond science and chemicals. It's to do with the spirit, and the spirit of a man comes from God. So there's power and life in the blood. People don't understand how it carries life. Even today when we're so clever that we clone animals, you know, they can clone sheep and they can make other sheep and the whole thing. But in the context is that they can reproduce life, but they can't make life. Big difference between reproducing something you've already got than making it. The blood, our blood, is a supernatural substance. Now the Bible says, Jesus comes and he dies on a cross and he sheds his blood for us. The center of the gospel is about this moment when Jesus dies on a cross and sheds his blood. Isn't it interesting that that's the way God chose to have the savior for mankind die? That it was on a cross, it wasn't a hanging. And it'd be funny if it was a hanging, because you'd wear not a cross around your neck, but a noose. Or if it was lethal injection, you'd be wearing a hypodermic syringe. But it wasn't either of those, it was on a cross. And the reason it was on a cross is because it needed to have nails and things that would pierce the body of Jesus. See, what does that mean? Why die? Why so important? Why the importance of the blood of Jesus? Why did it need to be shed? Why did it need to be poured out? By his stripes we are healed, by his blood we are forgiven. Why is it like that? Why couldn't there have been another way to rescue humanity? There seems that there was no other way possible. Our dilemma was so bad that God had to give all. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 starts to show us how this happens. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. Listen, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So there had to be a shedding of blood for us to find salvation and a way back to God. It's significant to understand that this is very important to what happens in regards to your salvation. So let's just back up a little bit and work this through a bit. There is no forgiveness possible without the shedding of blood. So God makes mankind. He breathes in Adam's life, he creates Eve. And Adam and mankind somehow, somewhere, turn their back on God. Adam listens to the creature rather than to the creator. He gets exiled out of the garden. A spiritual connection is broken between God and his creation. The world becomes crazy, mess, violence, anger, sickness, disease, selfishness, pride, and on it goes. Be assured, as we look at today's evil, it is no different now than it was 2,000 years ago. Since the fall of mankind, there has always been a clash of the spirit worlds of good and bad. And in that place of good and bad, God wanted to bring life and hope and future to mankind. Isn't it sad that even in the day that we live in, the largest industries on the planet, the largest industries are drugs, human trafficking, porn, arms, and munitions. They're the biggest industries in our world today. You did not hear me say greeting cards or flowers. It's a world that has significantly turned its back on God. The world needs help. It really does. And the good news is that Jesus has come, and we'll explain how that took place and what that meant. But the other good news is you and I get a part to play of bringing the good news to the generation that we live in. There is a need for us. If Colombia can go from 3% to 25%, man, I'm going to tell you right now, Australia is about 3%. Sounds like the right number. It's time for us to realize that God can do great things, even in the drug capital of the universe, and save people. He can either break the boundaries out the Middle East down and exodus millions of Muslims up into the north, and they're going to find their salvation in Jesus. You know, some of the Muslims interviewed said as they traveled north with just a few belongings and their kids and their wife, they said every mosque they went past, there was water and food for sale. And every Christian church they went past, there was food and water for free. There was such a move of what God is doing in this day. And be assured, if he can do it there, he can do it here. The world is out there. It's now is our time. Some people are hoping desperately that aliens turn up to save us. Too late. He's been and gone. Our out-of-world visitor came 2,000 years ago. His name was Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They've just got the timing wrong. Our answer has come. And the answer that saves mankind isn't just the person of Jesus, it's the blood that he sheds on a cross at Calvary. It wasn't that Jesus just came, though that was significant enough, that God would take on human form and lower himself below the angels and come as a human being and just meet, just be amongst us and live like a human being. That is enough. But what would change the world wasn't just that he came, is that he died and he shed his blood for us. You see, you can't nail the Savior to his own creation unless he wants you to. He wasn't held on that cross by nails. He was held by a vision of you and I being saved. A vision of people all around the world finding healing and hope and peace and breakthrough. Our answer has come, and it's in his blood. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It is through his blood that changed us. In other words, it was great that Jesus came as a man, but what was more significant, not that he came and dwelt amongst men, but he died in place and instead of humanity. His blood carries life. See, if blood carries life, then human blood carries human life. That makes sense, doesn't it? If blood carries life, if human blood then carries human life. Therefore, God blood carries God life. And that's the significance here about the blood of Jesus. See, our answers are not found in human endeavor. We are unable. But our Creator is well able, and moved by his great love towards us, he intervenes in humankind. He sends Jesus. His mother is a human, but his father is divine and holy. He is the Holy Spirit. So in the veins of Jesus doesn't run the blood of humanity, it runs the blood of God. So the blood that was in Jesus' veins was not normal blood. You see, our blood was corrupted. The sheep, the goats, they were unable to do what was needed to do. The blood of mankind could be given, but again, it was tainted by sin and therefore not powerful enough to change the future of humanity. But the blood of God in the veins of Jesus was pure blood. It was heavenly blood. It was blood from the Father, the creator of all things. So Jesus comes. So the importance of Jesus is not that he came as much as what he carried within him. It's what he carried within him would change humanity and allow us salvation and eternal life with God the Father. It's significant to make sure that we understand this. Did I do Hebrews chapter 9 yet? Damn wind's blowing the notes back. Animals and man's blood's not going to fix everything. It's tainted and powerless. But shedding God's blood, carrying God life. Are you sure we did that? Hebrews 9 what? 22. No, 9:11. We haven't done it. Stop it. Throwing me like that. I'm thinking, we haven't done that. Have we? No, we haven't done that. Hebrews 9, verse 11 through 15. But Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the whole most holy place once for all, having attained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, to cleanse your conscience from dead works, to serve the living God. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise to their eternal inheritance. Understand, in that scripture there, it shows us very clearly that he came, and it wasn't the person of Jesus that was as significant as what he carried in his veins. It was his blood that had the power to redeem us. The blood of humanity, the blood of animals, had no longer the power to cleanse anything. It's in Jesus. So if our answer lies within Jesus, if that's our answer, it's the blood that runs through his veins, then it makes sense to me that if God's going to change the world and change the souls of humans, somehow he's got the vessel, he's got the power of what needs to come inside the man's veins, and therefore the nails and on the cross and the piercing of the sword and the thorns that go on his head are all about doing one thing, not just killing him, but releasing the blood that was within inside of him. So Jesus came and he had to be pierced. What treasure that was in him had to be released. It had to be let out in the human domain. Unless that blood was somehow allowed to unleash itself from the very veins of Jesus, then the power of what God wanted to do would come to no avail. So therefore, he had to be crucified. He had to be nailed. He had to be stabbed. He had to have blood come out of him. And his blood was so powerful that it changed the atmosphere on that day and has never stopped changing the atmosphere ever since. He had to be pierced. He had to be broken. His blood had to flow freely into the human domain. There's incredible power in the blood of Jesus. I remember last year, Pastor Bryant, as a matter of fact, I've got to do this right now. Before I tell that story, Pastor Brian this week has just celebrated his 30th year on staff at this church. Stand up, Brian. We celebrate you. 30 years. What a legend you are. So good. We've got a gift for you. It's coming right now from the church here at City Point. We think you're amazing. 30 years. Brian is one of the finest men I know. He's been with us 30 years. He started at this church as a computer analyst 30 years ago. That was 1942. Then he went on to be a pastor, and out of that 30 years, he's been working for me for 15 of those 30 years as the dean of our Bible college here, as an executive pastor. He does say wisely that I'm the best boss he's ever had. And I don't know if it's the truth, but it is wise to say that. And up on the screen, we have maybe a picture of Brian. Do we have that or not really? Have I just thrown everything out? Yeah, that's Brian right there back in 30 years ago, and you can tell it's Brian because he still dresses the same. And congratulations, Brian, you're an incredible person, and I thank God for you that you're a part of who we are. Well, last year, Pastor Brian was doing a message on the blood, and I think it was a morning service. As he's talking about the blood of Jesus, a red balloon falls. I don't know how many buildings have red balloons stuffed up there. Falls behind him like a drop of blood. Just comes down. He's preaching about the blood. He doesn't even know what's happening. And this red balloon, like a drop of blood, falls out of the building. And just at that balloon had been waiting for that moment. It could have fallen any other time in human history. But right as Brian is talking about the power that's in the blood, a drop of blood falls behind him to make the message complete. His power gave me goosebumps, it really did. It was just unbelievably uncanny. It was like some possum said, you ready? Okay, okay. Very nice. A Christian possum. And, ready? Incredible power in the blood. So what I'm saying that the blood had to be released, it had to be out of him to have the effect that it needed to have on the human domain, to be able to change the souls of humans. And if we look at Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, and it says, "And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit." This is when he dies. He's on the cross. They've crucified him. They've stabbed him with a spear. He gives up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked, the rocks were split, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were now raised. And coming out of their graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those who were with him were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and these things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. So when I'm talking about that it has to be released, don't misunderstand how significant that moment is. Because now we've got Jesus on a cross. We've got his blood trickling out of his hands and down his arms. We've got his back scratched to bits from being whipped. We've got the thorns in his head. And all that blood is slowly trickling down his body. And eventually it runs down that cross and lands on the ground. And as soon as the blood of God lands on the ground, the earth quakes. The sun blackens. The rocks start to split. A seasoned centurion guard fell to his knees and started to weep, saying, truly, he is the Son of God. The power that the blood represented was shown so unequivocally in that moment that it was so powerful that as it went and started to seep into the cracks in the ground, the dead started to get raised. The blood of Jesus is the reason you and I have salvation. Because it's the blood from heaven, from God himself. The most precious substance in the universe was released upon us. The blood released brings power, brings love, brings healing, brings hope, brings deliverance, brings forgiveness. It's the very DNA of heaven that has been released. God life being poured out over our world. Jesus was the vessel. He had to be broken and release heaven's treasure upon us, the very blood of God. Therefore, now we can receive new life, salvation, forgiveness of sins, victory over death. Everything has changed from that moment in history. Man now has access to his creator. The temple was curtain that isolated man from the holiness, the Holy of Holies, was ripped in two from top to bottom. It wasn't a man thing, it was a God thing. And now it's said to humankind, you have access to me, your creator. And not only do we have access to the creator, heaven's power and love now has access to his creation. Jesus himself said, I have come to bring you life. And if you understand that life is in the blood, we're not talking about just going to a party, we're talking about very life itself. I have come to bring you life and life more abundant, a life that comes only from the blood of Jesus. From my death, you can have new life. For those that have accepted this truth, Jesus' blood is at work in our lives and we've been eternally altered. His blood has given you new life. For those that haven't accepted this truth yet, there's room for you. The blood of Jesus might be the most precious thing in the universe, but it's not the scarcest thing in the universe. There's enough for every single person on the planet. Would you accept him tonight? Would you put yourself in a spot to receive the salvation? It's all been done. We don't have to suffer to die for it. We don't have to try harder to get it. The Bible says we just got to believe. We believe in what took place 2,000 years ago, and he'll accept you. It doesn't matter how bad you've been or where you've gone. He will look at you in those eyes and say, I love you with all that I have. My blood was shed for you. Not only is it the sign of love, it is the power of love to change humankind. So his death was the sign that he loved us, but also was the power to release that love upon us. It's all been done. It's all available today. All you've got to do is say yes. And that blood that was poured out 2,000 years ago will somehow reach into your soul and start to wash you clean, start to bring purity and peace and freedom in your soul and your heart. I don't know what problems you're facing in life, but I know this, that the answer for every problem you face is wrapped up in the name of Jesus. Somewhere, somehow, your answer lies in that name. So your starting place is to acknowledge him and what he's done for you. It's not just something you have to stretch your mind to believe. It's so powerfully proven to to be the way that God has for humankind. I'd love you to bow your heads and close your eyes tonight right across this building.